Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we are very honored to have retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor on the program. But first, a little housekeeping. Rory Reid's campaign has been running an ad that uses clips from Nevada Newsmakers from February 16th from our interview with Brian Sandoval. The quotes in this ad are out of context and in the latter case actually reversed from what was originally said. We have asked the Reid campaign to take down the ad. They have refused. And we want to point out once again that this program is nonpartisan and we did not give permission for any campaign to use these clips or any other clips. So when we come back, we're going to start out with the original interview segment with Brian Sandoval so you can see what he said in context. Following that, our interview with Sandra Day O'Connor. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers with Brian Sandoval right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
And our 2010 TV spot, we wow them with stuff they don't need. Like a year's supply of fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully's Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
In 2010, we triple our profits with a new thing we call a website. They get fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to this program after a long time, Brian Sandoval. He's a Republican candidate for governor of Nevada, running the primary against the governor. I want to go through a bunch of things and just clear up some questions I've had since you announced for race. You're an assemblyman, head of the Gaming Commission, attorney general. Then you left being attorney general to become a federal judge, which is a lifetime position appointed by Senator Reid and Senator Ensign, or recommended, I should say.
Yes.
So my first question is, lifetime appointment. What part of lifetime didn't happen here?
No, it was a great privilege to serve as a federal judge, and I enjoyed working with my colleagues. I enjoyed the work, but I also, as I was there, I saw that the state was in trouble, and I wanted to do my part. It certainly was a lifetime appointment, but it wasn't indentured servitude.
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But normally, when one takes a position like that, one realizes that, you know, because I don't think too many federal judges, you know, step down in the middle of term. You said you saw that the state was in trouble. While you were as a judge, Were you following the issues of the state in any kind of detail? I mean, beyond just reading the newspaper? And the reason,
no,
I ask is because one of the, we've been trying to get you on the program for several months now. And I talked to a senior member of the Republican Party, and they said, well, the Judge Sandoval can't come on the program because right now he's getting up to speed. So once he's up to speed on the issues, then he'll be able to come on. Is that appropriate?
That's absolutely accurate. On the bench, obviously, you know, you're apolitical and you're focused completely on the cases in front of you. And once I left the bench, yes, I spent a tremendous amount of time getting up to speed on the issues.
Now, you said that that it was during the time that you were in the judgeship that you thought about running for governor.
Yes.
But isn't it true, according to published reports at least, that two of the top Republican operatives in the state, Peter Arnott and Greg Ferraro, came to you and asked you to run?
Well, they didn't ask me to run. They asked if I would be interested in the position. And certainly, yes, I talked to them. And Peter Arnott and Greg are two folks that I've known since college. I worked with Paul Laxalt with them. Pete and I served in the assembly together. So they're folks that I trust and know very well.
Are they running your campaign?
Yes. They're not running my campaign, but they're advising my campaign.
Okay, so do you have a campaign chairman at this point?
Well, Governor Gwynn is serving as one of the co-campaign chairs on the campaign.
And Peter Arnott served as his chief of staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The governor obviously has taken a very strong position throughout his term of no new taxes.
Correct.
You were thought of, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, as a moderate conservative, not somebody who is way out on the right wing of the party. You're going to have a tough job being able to sell yourself to the party base, which for the most part is very happy with Governor Givens and the positions he's taken. How do you respond to that?
Well, at least based on my conversations, I have a tremendous amount of support amongst the party faithful. I've always been considered a fiscal conservative. I've not been one about labels. I'm really proud of my experience and the leadership I've shown throughout my public service career.
One of the things about your public service career that people have thrown at you, and I'm sure you have a good answer for this, is that you've had all these jobs, but you've never actually finished any of them. And so people are saying, well, if you become governor, will you finish a term as governor before you're looking to maybe run for the Senate?
Well, first, it's been a privilege to serve in the positions that I have, and that's one of the reasons that I'm running for governor, because I have served in all three branches of government. I've served as the chief gaming regulator in the state of Nevada, and I think that's experience that's very important for this job. And the one thing that has remained consistent throughout my public service career is just that, public service. And if I were fortunate enough to be elected governor, absolutely I would serve all 4 years of my term.
Somebody brought up this issue, and I'm kind of curious to get your response, but I think it's a great question, that with your Hispanic background, your parents pushed you forward. They didn't want you speaking Spanish at home. They wanted you to be successful in whatever you try to do. Has that had an influence on the decisions you've made in terms of, you know, carrying the Hispanic banner to show that you can achieve?
Well, I'm proud of my parents. I'm proud of my grandparents. I'm proud of my background. And basically, the bottom line for me my entire life is to try and make a difference. And that's why I'm in public service, because I want to do the best that I can do for the people of Nevada and all the people of the state.
All right, let's go back to my question about the governor being extremely conservative, especially when it comes to the tax situation. How do you run to the right of him in the primary, and then don't you have to pivot back to the center in a general?
And being myself, Sam, in this race. And I put together a plan that I felt that was very important in terms of bringing a solution to what's happening with this budget deficit crisis. It's not a matter of running right or left. It's a matter of putting myself forward. My being in this race is not about the governor. It's about me thinking that I'm a good candidate and that I could serve the state as a good governor.
Okay, let's take a break, and then let's deal with some of those positions when we come back. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
Well, you bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad you did.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are just so proud to have in our studio today retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
We're honored for you to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to visit Nevada. A neighbor state to Arizona, as you know.
Well, you were the first female justice serving from 1981 to 2006,
yes.
Nominated by President Reagan, but you share something with my mom.
What's that?
My mom, in her day, she was born in 1914, and she was brilliant at mathematics, and she wanted to be a CPA.
Goodness. Yes.
And in those days, women were laughed out of the class.
Sure.
And she was able to be a bookkeeper, but never able to expand on what she wanted to do.
Exactly.
You ended up as one of the most powerful women ranked in the country, and yet when you first tried to get a job as a lawyer in California, despite your great credentials, what happened?
Well, I graduated from Stanford Law School in 1952, and there were notices on the placement bulletin board at Stanford from all the major law firms in California saying, Stanford law grads, please call us. We'd like to talk to you about job opportunities. I called every number on the bulletin board. Not one of them would give me an interview. I was female.
Not even an interview?
No. And I had an undergraduate friend at Stanford whose father was a partner in a major law firm in California. And I said, would you talk to your father and see if he can get me an interview? She did, and her father arranged for an interview at the firm with a partner. I made a trip down to Los Angeles to talk to them. And nice appearing man, and he looked at my resume. Oh, Miss Day, you have a wonderful resume here. But Miss Day, this firm has never hired a woman lawyer. I don't see the day when we will. Our clients wouldn't stand for it. Well, my face obviously must have reflected my great disappointment. And he said, well, Miss Day, how well do you type? And I said, so-so. He said, if you can type well enough, I might be able to get you on here as a legal secretary, but not as a lawyer. And I thanked him for the interview, but said I wasn't interested in that and left. Now, I wanted very much to work, and I wanted to work as a lawyer. I heard that the county attorney in San Mateo County, California, had once had a woman lawyer on his staff. I made an appointment to see him. He was an Italian-American. It was an elected position, I think still is in California. And his name was Louis DeMatteis. And I met with him, and he was charming, just delightful. And he showed me around the office. And he said, now, Miss Day, you have a wonderful resume here. I did have a woman on my staff, and she did a good job. I'd be happy to have you. But I get my money from the county supervisors. I'm not funded to hire another deputy. And I just have no money right now to do that. So I left and I went back to the Lazy Bee Ranch in Arizona and I wrote him a long letter. That letter is now in their museum. I told him all the things I thought I could do for him if he'd take me on. And I explained that I was willing to work for nothing until he could persuade the supervisors to give him a little more money. And I said, I know you don't have a vacant office, but I'm at your secretary, and there's room where her desk is to put a second desk, if she'd be willing. That was my first job as a lawyer. No pay, and I put my desk in with the secretary. I loved that job. It was in the public sector. I answered legal questions for the county and had an absolutely wonderful time.
When people tell young people that they can't accomplish their dreams, what do you say to those people?
I tell them my story. I said, you may have to be a little creative for a while, but if you are, you'll probably be able to do some worthwhile things.
It seems that a lot of our Supreme Court justices, even a lot of our politicians on a national level, are from the East that rise to that leadership. What kind of different perspective do you think you had coming from the West, coming from Arizona?
Well, I was a ranch girl, and out on the ranch, they didn't care whether you were male or female. They cared whether you could do the job, whatever it was. And if you could do it, they wanted your help. So I didn't see any distinctions as I grew up in ranch life between men and women, as long as you could do the job.
And that was, I mean, that's something that I know has inspired a lot of young women and a lot of people,
sure,
as well. And
that's the way it ought to be.
Absolutely.
When you were confirmed, it was 99-0. Those days are long gone, aren't they?
At the moment, they are. I hope they come back. I don't see much these days in political life, either at the state or the national level, that extends to occasional opportunities to cooperate with the other party. And we need to find that again. We need to find a middle ground where we can talk to each other sensibly and accomplish a few things.
When you were on the court, you and Justice Kennedy were seen as the swing voters. You know,
I hate that term, so don't use it.
Okay, I will not.
I tried to analyze every case that came along and do what I thought the law required in that case. And I don't think there was... I don't even know what people mean by the term swing vote. Whatever it is, I don't like it. It isn't as though we were just looking for a home.
All right, let's take a break and then continue this conversation
okay.
with Justice O'Connor. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On the next Face-to-Face, another judicial debate. Plus, we'll have the latest on the coroner's inquest into the fatal shooting by Metro Police of Las Vegas, Eric Scott. That's all on the next Face-to-Face.
Sharon Angle's new attack ad. More crazy talk and outright lies. This fence, it's Harry Reid who got 400 miles of new barriers, 4,000 new border agents, drones, even the National Guard. And Reid never has and never will support Social Security for illegal immigrants. He wrote the bill opposing it. Remember, it's Sharon Angle who says she'd wipe out Social Security and Medicare, and Harry Reid who's protecting it for Americans.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Are you ready for this?
It's really good.
There's a new network that's home to all your favorite movies and so much more.
That's just fine.
This TV.
You're in capable hands.
Prepare to laugh. Prepare for battle. Prepare to be entertained.
This TV. To find where This TV is in your area and what great movies are playing, log on to thistv.com.
The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even pull newscasts. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sandra Day O'Connor, the retired Supreme Court Justice. Take us, if you will, behind the scenes of the Supreme Court. You don't like the term the swing vote. How do the discussions go? What does the public not understand about the way the Supreme Court operates?
Well, they probably don't understand much about it because, as you know, it isn't televised, and the internal discussions of the court would never be televised. That would not happen. And it's like any appellate court. The justices have to study the case that is before them, read the material from the lower court, read the evidence, the proceedings in the lower courts, analyze the decision that we're reviewing, and then talk about the issues and see what legal principles govern the decision in the case. And that's like every appellate court in America, in a way. But sometimes the decisions at the Supreme Court level touch on very important issues where there is less governing law to guide the court. And so each justice has to work as hard as they can on the case, and then we come together around a long table in the justices' conference room and go around the table and talk about it on the assigned day. And we start with the Chief Justice and go down. In Canada, 9-member court, they do the opposite. They start with the junior justice and go up to the chief. We start with the chief and go to the junior. And my first case to be discussed at the U.S. Supreme Court in 1981, when I arrived, the first time I sat at that table and we went around the table on a case, the case ended up with me, 4-4. And I was the 9th vote, the 9th person. My decision would govern the outcome of the case. And that happened many, many times. So you do get a sense of responsibility that way.
Cameras in the court. Why do we not have television cameras in the
court? Because you haven't had agreement by the court members that
I understand
they won't
that,
allow
but
it.
But shouldn't we have the ability to see that in this modern
era? Well, you're welcome to make the pitch. It's made every year so far.
Would you be in favor?
The court, I'm not there anymore. It doesn't matter what I think.
Of course it matters what
no,
you think.
No, it doesn't matter what I think. But it's up to the members
You were one of
the
most powerful women in the world.
Yes, but
of
I'm not there anymore.
But your opinion matters. Wouldn't you like to be able to turn on your television and watch C-SPAN 27
I wouldn't
and watch
learn
the proceedings?
Any more if I did that than if I didn't. I'm sure some people would be entertained by it, but I don't think the Supreme Court is there to entertain.
But wouldn't
public.
We learn, as we've learned from watching the Congress?
I don't know if you would. What tends to happen in courts where there is television is they like to watch the so-called sexy cases. And the bread-and-butter cases involving rather dull issues, nobody cares. They don't watch.
But here in the state of Nevada, for example.
It'd be true in the Supreme Court level, too. There'd be very few that people really wanted to know.
But online, for example, here in the state of Nevada, yes. We have lots of committee hearings online mm-hmm. and sessions of legislature. People mm-hmm. do watch, people who are interested. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what's happening.
Well, they're going to know what's happening because the Supreme Court is very responsible in writing opinions that explain in detail the thinking of every justice. And often, I think we have too many opinions in a case. In theory, you should just have one opinion for the court. But the court is often divided. So then you have dissenting opinions, sometimes concurring. And to read the opinions takes a long time in many cases. So you're going to get a complete explanation of the thinking of the justices.
Justice O'Connor, you talk about the outcomes of the case, but mm-hmm. there's also a lot of politics concerning what cases you take up, what cases you decide.
Well, there isn't a lot of politics. every petition that comes to the court, and these days it's about 12,000 petitions a year, and they're all circulated to every justice, and you have to read those things with the responses. And then we have a certain number of them. If any justice thinks that a petition is worthy of discussion, they ask that it be put on a discuss list. If nobody wants to even discuss it, it's denied. If there, we discuss maybe, I don't know, 4,000 of them a year, and then it goes around the table, and any justice can say what they think about whether the court should, the full court should hear the case. And if they get at least 4 of the 9 votes saying, let's take this case, that's enough. That's pretty nice. It doesn't require a majority.
Is there a case kind of at the forefront of your mind that wasn't taken up by the Supreme Court that you really wish you could have weighed in on?
Well, if there is, I would have written a dissent from denial of certiorari and circulated it, and you can read it too. There's something I feel strongly about.
One quick question. We're running out of time in this segment. Okay. Do you miss the first Monday in October?
No. They put all the dullest cases on the first Monday because there are too many visitors in the courtroom. They don't put anything exciting on the first Monday.
Okay, we're going to hold you over, and we're going to do another segment on our next broadcast to talk about the main reason why you're here, which is talking about appointing judges. So stick around, and on our next broadcast, Sandra Day O'Connor will join us again.
Sneaking across our border, putting Americans' safety and jobs at risk. And what does Harry Reid do? He comes out opposed to Arizona's tough new immigration law. Nevada families struggling with the nation's highest unemployment. Harry Reid, he votes to give special tax breaks to illegal aliens and to give illegal Social Security benefits, even for the time they were here illegally. Harry Reid, the best friend an illegal alien ever had.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
I owed $13,000 on my taxes, but now...
Congratulations. You only owe $3,048.
How's that sound?
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number or go to tax10,000.com. Even if you're already at the point where you're struggling with levies and garnishments, let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating tax settlement.
We owe the IRS $28,000.
But check out what we actually pay.
Are you sitting down? You only owe $5,772.
Call 1-800-715-0265 or go to tax10,000.com. 1-800-715-0265.
Nevada, for years we've been ripped off and dragged down. Maybe you can't find a job, afford your mortgage, or pay your electricity bills. And I'm angry because the big banks and other powerful interests have always gotten their way. They crashed our economy, and now they've recruited Brian Sandoval to run for governor. They'll just keep holding Brian Sandoval's hand. But I'll hold them accountable. This is our state, not the special interests, and I'll be your governor, not theirs.
As always, you watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow we're going to be continuing our conversation with Justice Sandra Day O'Connor on whether we should appoint or elect our